A little bit different tonight. Amen. Different's good sometimes. James chapter 4, I'm kind of just using this scripture kind of to get me where I need to be tonight. I hope you'll smile a little bit tonight. This is probably not going to be a long sermon. It's going to be I'll say it's going to be a lighthearted sermon. Amen. So let's just get our minds on the Lord. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar scripture. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get grain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God, we love you. We come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for a good day. Thank you for each one that's gathered here tonight, Lord. And thank you for those that was here this morning on the altar, God. And Lord, just getting things under the blood, Lord. And I thank you, God, for the songs that's been sung tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can praise you, God. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that we got a reason to praise you, Lord. God, and I ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, help us the next just a little while, God, to bring forth this message in a way that would please you. And we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, and all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life? The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. So we ought to be doing our very best to live our very best life. Amen. I want to preach a little while on some rules that will help you in this life. Some rules that will help you in this life. And I got to think about as I was studying, what are some rules we live by? When I think about this, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have church. I'm coming to church. Amen. Church attendance. That's just, you know, those are some of the rules that we need to live by. It ought not be a question on Sunday afternoon about 5 o'clock or whether are we going to church tonight. That ought not be a question. Amen. Amen. But now, a little bit more lightheartedly, what are some other rules we try to live by? And I thought about just kind of going along and asking some folks, you know, one of the rules that I live by as far as kind of being a little bit lighthearted tonight is when the GPS says we can make it in 2 hours, I try to do it in an hour and 45 minutes. All the men said amen. I got, you know, just thinking about that, some funny rules that we live by, you know, just something like that. And I thought about another one. Never under any circumstances take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. That will be bad. That's just a good rule to live by, amen? Amen. It's all right to laugh. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Another good rule to live by, if you look like your passport picture, you need a trip. Amen. Another good rule to live by is don't never outweigh your refrigerator. Amen. It's all right to smile, amen. Let's kind of get into the message. Some good rules that you and I can really live by. Number one, let it go.
Come on. Come on.
Don't ruin a good day thinking about a bad yesterday.
Come on. Come on.
Let it go. I mean, more people dwell on stuff today that happened yesterday, and it ain't going to do a bit of good dwelling on it today. So let that mess go and dwell on what God has for us today. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 and 19, remember yet not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said this, do not say, why were the former days better than these? Do you not move ahead by constantly? You cannot move ahead by constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Yeah. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to tie you down. Think about that. We got to learn from the past, but don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell. I mean, I talk to people all the time, and they're going through something. They're going through a hard. I said, where did all this start? Well, it was about 3 weeks ago. Let it go. I could bring my grandkids up here and sing that song from that movie. Let it go. I mean, why is that so hard for us to do? Amen. It is. Sometimes it is hard, but you got to let it go. Don't let the past drag you down. Amen. Number two, don't listen to other people. Live your life. Now, I'm not talking about getting good godly advice. Amen. We all need good godly advice. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So what we need to do, and me and Melvin sometimes talk, and we give each other good godly advice. That's not what I'm talking about. The problem is a lot of times we listen to everybody else about what we're supposed to be doing, and we ain't doing what we're supposed to be doing, and a lot of times we ain't doing nothing. So don't listen to what other people try to tell you to do. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now listen, verse 11 and 12, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we command you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that they may have lack of nothing. God wants us to be all we can be, and God wants us to be what he wants us to be. The problem is, you know, I've told this story many times. When God called me to preach, I won't ever forget, I stood up, Kevin, on that Wednesday night at White Savannah, and I said, I believe the Lord's calling me to preach. Everybody kind of clapped, you know, they gathered around, they prayed. We got home that night. My wife said, you going to start wearing suits all the time? I said, no. She said, well, Preacher Buddy does. I said, well, I ain't Preacher Buddy. God didn't call me to be Preacher Buddy. I like to sing, but God didn't call me to sing like Robert Lloyd. David did a great job tonight, but God didn't call David to sing like Robert Lloyd. And God ain't calling you to be like somebody else. God's calling you to be you. He made you an original. If you, every one of us in here is an original. We got all different fingerprints. We got all different attitudes. We got, and I'm telling you right now, you want to get around my grandkids, you can see all kind of attitudes. Say amen, Ansley. Amen. Well, we're all different. It's amazing, and I'm going to pick on my grandkids a little bit tonight. It's amazing to me that they can all be in the same family. All of them look different, and all of them act different. Amen. Praise God. Right. It's good to covet the good things. Annie was at the house today, and she wanted to paint, so we got her some paint down. She got a little canvas down, and she was painting, and she was just a painting away. She's having a good time, and she said this, and listen, this is what she said. One day I want to paint like Ansley. And Ansley is a great painter. Amen. It's all right to covet the good things. But be yourself. Amen. Don't listen to what everybody else says. I mean, God wants to. Don't be fooled by what you hear on TV. Don't be fooled. I mean, listen, we ain't got to dress like Hollywood. We ain't got to talk like Hollywood. We ain't got to act like Hollywood. We ain't got to look like. Hey, God wants us to be us. Glory to God. I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but I was thinking about this the other day. There's a lot of churches you go to, and I got to think about, I don't know how I got on this, but there was a lot of churches you go to. They want you to come in. They want you to look good. They want you to sit there. They want you to be nice. They want you to drive a fancy car. I was thinking, you know, hey, we'll take some drug addicts at Liberty, amen. We'll take some drunks at Liberty. Hey, that's the one that need the Lord. That's the one that, and we want them to get in. We want them to get saved, and we want them to be what God wants them to be. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about you. Number three, give it time. Give it time. With time, wounds can turn into wisdom and cuts can turn into scars. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, and it goes on and on and on in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season. Amen. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Praise the Lord. Dance, Brother Robert.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. I was noticing Annie up here. Annie was kind of getting down with her bad self up here a little bit too. Amen. Hey, it's all right to have a good time in the Lord's house. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here gets hurt every once in a while. There's not a person in here immune from getting hurt. And I don't know about you. I was thinking about this, and you know, Preacher Paul Lambert passed away. And I don't know why the thought kind of crossed my mind, what if I was going to speak at his funeral? And I've never known anybody that quotes scripture like Paul Lambert. I mean, he was a walking Bible. I tell people this, you know, he would say something like John chapter 15, about verse 15 there. There's a semicolon in there, and he, right after that semicolon, it says this. I'm saying, he's quoting the quotations and the semicolons in the Bible. I can't quote scripture like that. I'm not as humble as Preacher Buddy C. And whether y'all like it or not, sometimes I get irritated and want to strike back.
Come on. Bless you,
Lord. A lot of the time, Benji, I'm just being honest, a lot of times I can keep it under wraps and nobody knows about it but my wife. We all get hurt. Every last one of us. Some great people over the years was able to get hurt and control it. I was reading and studying this. The purposes of God are often developed slowly because his grand design is never hurried. The great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, was noted on this for his poise and his quiet manner. Said at times, however, he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing back and forth on the floor, and they said, Mr. Brooks, Reverend Brooks, what's the matter? And this is what he said. The trouble is I'm in a hurry and God ain't.
Amen.
Ever felt like that? The Bible says in Psalms 27 verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wow. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Say thou not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save. That is something that most Christians don't want to do. But if you'll wait on God, his will might turn slow, but I guarantee you it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. Number four, don't compare yourself to nobody. Don't compare yourself to nobody. The only person you should try to be better than is the one you was yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. I can't compare myself to Kevin. I can't. Why in the world we got two Kevins sitting back? Y'all messing with me. I just thought about that. Y'all messing with me. But I can't compare myself to Brother Kevin. I can't compare myself to Brother Melvin. I can't do that. That's the problem, though. A lot of times if we ain't careful, listen, a lot of times if we're not careful, especially, you know, our two young preachers have sprouted wings and left.
Amen.
Them heathens, anyhow. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for them and I'm proud of them. But so I'm reverting back to using my deacons and my ex-deacons. Now listen, David is an awesome speaker. Amen. Brother Tony is an awesome speaker. Brother Chucky and Clint, these are awesome speakers. But they can't compare themselves to each other. I can't compare myself to any other preacher. And let me say this. As pastor of this church, one day, Brother Tony, hopefully in about 10 years or so, the Lord will allow me to retire. You know what tears up a lot of churches? When the next preacher comes in. And everybody's comparing him to the one you had. Don't do that. And don't compare yourself to nobody else. God wants you to be you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says this, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that condemn themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Galatians chapter 6 says this, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he rejoice in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." God will not compare any of us with anybody else at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Amen. God will not compare you to somebody else at the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, our yard marker, our marker that we're going to be compared to is Jesus. And you will fail. The only thing that's going to hold up is the blood. Amen. Now listen to this. Somebody said this. Comparing ourselves to others can be a theft of joy. It can stem from a desire for somebody else's life. And when we compare ourselves to others, what we're saying is God made a mistake and I ain't enough. God ain't made no mistakes. Amen. God made you just like you are. You be all what God wants you to be. Amen. I'm going to come to a close with this one. Stay calm. Stay calm. It's okay not to have everything figured out right now. I prayed this morning, and I believe I was in the Lord's will this morning when I got Brother Robert back up to sing that song. And I asked folks, and I mean, hands went up all over the building. Brother Robert, you could tell when this altar was full from that wall to that wall that everybody's got problems, everybody's facing something, and it's all right not to have it all figured out right now. So just stay calm. Philippians chapter 4 says this, "Be careful with nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I've said this before. Do what's right, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. Just stay calm. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Just to let y'all know, me and David has got this under control. Amen, David. Jenny saying no. Juwan saying you've lost your mind. Real easy to tell everybody else how to do it, Benji. It's a whole other thing us doing it. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says this, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is my helper. No matter what I'm facing, the Lord is my helper. John chapter 14 verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." Whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, just stay calm. God's on your side. You're covered by the blood. You're on your way to heaven. Glory to God. We have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So don't get upset if you ain't got it figured out right yet. Let me tell you something. You might not have it figured out yet, but God does. God does. My last point is this. And this is a good one. It's all on you. You're the only one that can live your life, and you're the only one that can control it. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. We was visiting some friends a couple days ago, and the Waltons was on. And kind of had a little lull in the conversation, and I was kind of watching it, and they was running a marathon. And somehow or another, John Boy was going to ride this mule in a race. Some of y'all probably seen the episode. And he had got to the point, Brother Robert, where it wasn't fun no more. He was fussing at everybody. He was giving everybody a hard time about you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And his daddy told him, said, if that's your attitude, I don't want you racing in this race. He said, yeah, but you don't understand. This one's doing this, and this one's doing that, and this one's doing this. And his daddy said, but they ain't my son.
Right.
You are.
Right.
You're in control of your attitude.
Hallelujah.
When I'm at a restaurant, and the waitress ain't doing all she's supposed to do, I'm in control of my attitude.
Amen.
When I'm at my house and me and my wife are not seeing eye to eye on everything, guess what? I'm still in control of my attitude. Get off your high horse and quit trying to blame everybody else. I saw this. This was written in a discipleship journal. A man named Don McCullough wrote it. Said John Kellinger told about this manager of a minor league baseball team. Brother Robert, you're going to like this. Said this manager of a minor league baseball team said the center fielder had been just royally messed up everything, Jackie. He had done made three or four errors. He had done let a ball go across his head. He had done let one of them go between his legs. So the manager pulled him into the dugout, set him down, and went and played center field himself. Well, the first one hit to him, David. He got up under it and lost it in the sun. It hit him right between the eyes. The next one hit to him was a grounder. It come bouncing across the dirt. He rushed up, charged it like it's supposed to. Hit a rock, come up and hit him in the mouth. The next one was hit to him, went across his head, and he finally got the ball and threw it in, called timeout, run into the dugout, grabbed the center fielder by the shoulder. She said, you've messed up center field so good, I can't even play out there. That's most of our attitude. Mm-hmm. One of the jokes at our house when we was growing up, you know, Blake, y'all wouldn't know it, but Blake likes to play basketball. And if you beat Blake at anything, something's wrong. That was one of the jokes. If you beat Blake, that means the stars have not aligned right. The sun is out of kilter. Something ain't right. He's going to blame everything else. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, you got the answer for you. It's all on you. It's all on you. If you mess this thing up, guess who's going to answer for it? You. So let's get off our high horse, quit blaming everybody else, and say, hey, it's me. It's me. If we can ever get to that point, life will be a whole lot better and life will be a whole lot simpler. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I want you to bow your heads. Maybe you need to pray about something. I you know, how are you doing right now?